Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Hallketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is August 27th, 2020, and so good to have all of you on the call here. And today I wanted to talk about, you know, more coaching tools and exercises and assessments that you can use for your clients to with athletes, if you're working with athletes or business clients, and also with performing clients, any kind of clients that you're working with, some of you are doing life coaching, this can be used with anyone in those groups as well. And so just wanted to talk about some of the tools that you can use. So things like I have an athlete event critique, and I have a lot of questions, a list of different types of questions you can ask clients that really help with assessing where they're at initially. And then I have a ready-to-be-coached questionnaire to share with you. And there's a coaching agreement form also. And I'll be putting these up, too, in our website. If you afterward go to the performingedgecoach.com website, and the private members, you can log into your private members area. So this is only available to you as members here. And then you can click on the top tab there that says Coach Resources. And be adding things to that regularly too, and so different, you know, things that I want to add. Also, some homework exercises that you can do with your clients, and exercises for performing under pressure. Lots of different, so many different tools that you can use. I'm all constantly developing new tools as well, so. Also, one of the primary reasons for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions. So you can always email me any questions that you have beforehand or on our call here, and happy to answer those. If anyone have questions right now that you'd like me to answer or put on the list for answering, I don't know, Anna L., I know you're there for coming on our call from France, which is welcome, and I just wondered if you had any specific questions that I could answer for you.
No, last time I had a question about, profile of people. Do you have, how I can explain that? Do you have some indents, some clues about a kind of profile of clients?
A profile of clients?
Yes, profile.
So you mean asking them questions about their overall background and that sort of thing?
Yes.
Let's see. I talked last time about some of that's on the last call that we had that's in the recording session, where I have a client questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
And but also, I'll develop more of a specific one that I can send to you and to everyone this time, too. But I asked questions like, what's your background information, what sports are you interested in, what challenges are you facing right now, how do you want to work with, what do you need to be able to, for me to support you, that kind of thing. And there's so many great questions that you can ask clients. So, questions like, what are you struggling with right now, or what are the top three things that you're struggling with? Those are things that you can work with. And then I've got a strengths assessment also that's really good, where you can ask, clients can write their physical abilities and assess all kinds of things, like list their strengths and assets. Because oftentimes when someone goes to a therapist, they only ask about the problem areas, but we want to, you know, capitalize on their strengths as well. So listing, you know, all the qualities, accomplishments in different areas, your character strengths, asking them to list those, and I'll send this to you too. You know, and qualities you appreciate in yourself. That's a really good question to ask your clients. And then asking, you know, all the different qualities you appreciate in yourself, including mental qualities, your physical qualities, your emotional qualities. People might not have thought of those things ahead of time, but things like social, you know, your friends, your family, your ability to socialize, your work qualities, your lifestyle qualities, things that you do that really enhance your lifestyle, and your accomplishments, both athletic accomplishments and maybe accomplishments in school or in work as well, and things that you enjoy, things that you have a passion for, so having them list all of those things. And then a second area would be to, on the strengths assessment, would be identify qualities that you would like to improve. And you could ask them these questions. I think it's better if you ask them in person or by phone with a verbal conversation, but they could also write them down. And so qualities that you'd like to improve, and tell them to, when you're listing those, to take care to only use descriptions that are non-judgmental. So, you know, don't be hard on yourself or don't judge yourself, but just think about your sports performance, your personal and work performance, as well as general personality characteristics. Like you might list, I lose focus halfway to the finish line of my races, or you know, specific things like that, and try to avoid blaming yourself or not saying I'm a bad person or I'm a terrible athlete, that sort of thing. But make the this area more specific. So that could be part of a client profile too, qualities that you'd like to improve. And then consider, you know, negative attitudes that might hinder your performance. So, you know, do you ask a client, do you regularly use any, you know, negative self-statements that undermine your self-image and keep you from doing your best as an athlete or in business? So, you know, things like poor self-confidence. An athlete might say to themselves, my competition is so much better than me, or I'm not prepared for this race, or I'm too old, I'm too slow, I'm too short, I'm too overweight, all those kind of things we say to ourselves. Or there's the fear aspect, asking people, do you say things like, I'm afraid I'm never going to get any better, or when the pressure's on, I know I'll screw up, I'm afraid I'll make mistakes. So identifying the fear, the anxiety part of performance. And then there's perfectionism, you know, saying if you take a look and ask them to, do they say things like, I fear I won't live up to the high standards I set for myself, or I'm never content with my performance, or I have to be perfect, I have to win, or else I'm a failure. Those kind of things athletes say if they're, so identify the perfectionism part, and then the sort of self-condemnation, somebody, you know, sort of blaming themselves, to identify that you could work on, where they say, I tend to have bad luck, something always goes wrong, or I do well in training but not in competitions, or I keep making the same mistakes in my training, those kind of things. And then, you know, as some athletes have, we all have, I think it's partly a racing mind or a mind that just doesn't stop. So you're saying to yourself, oh, when I try to recall everything I've learned, I just get jumbled in my mind, you know, can't focus on one thing. Or when I get to my event, I can't relax, I'm thinking of 10 things at once. So if an athlete's having a racing mind like that, then you can really work on, you know, breathing exercises, taking in, you know, 5 deep breaths in through your nose. It's good to do, I call nose breathing. So, because if you're just breathing in through your nose, it really helps to get them to breathe and relax and to calm the mind down. So if you breathe in through the nose, you can have them breathe in for 5 counts in through the nose, and then, or 3 counts in and then 5 counts out. So breathe out, take a longer time to breathe out than breathing in, and that can help relax the mind even more. And then if you can also breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth, and that helps to just slow down the mind so that they can, and also when you're doing that kind of breathing, you can have them say a positive thought as they're breathing in. Breathe in is one quality that you do want. So I'm breathing in strength, or I'm breathing in calmness, and then I'm breathing out and letting go. Better just to say, you know, breathing out, letting go, not focus on negative stuff, but just something a quality they want to breathe in. So or they can say the same one over and over again, or a different quality each time you breathe in. I'm breathing in confidence, and then I'm breathing out and relaxing. So that's a good technique for people who have racing minds. And then there's anger and blame. It's good to identify that. Like, I get angry, so angry at myself, I can't focus what I need to do, or I get mad at things I can't control. You know, the traffic, the weather, the competition. And if people get mad at things they can't control, it's good to have them list those things, and then also list the things now what are the things that you do have control over, like, your effort level, your attitude, all kinds of things that you're thinking about, your mindset. You can have control over what you eat beforehand, and have control over what you're thinking about and how well you focus. Of course, it takes practice to be able to do that, but it's amazing when you get the athlete to focus on all the things that they can control and what they'd like to be able to control. Then you can teach them how to control those things and to be able to turn down the volume on the traffic, the weather, the competition, those other things that you can't control. Just be able to relax and control and be able to focus on the things you can control, so it's like changing a channel in your brain to the channel things you can control. So those are good to do, and then you can have them rate themselves on different on all those different areas. Kind of rate yourself from 1 to 10 on confidence. You know, do you have high expectation that you'll do your best in competition, or do you get excited about the idea of accepting a challenge? Do you have feelings of strength and being in control? Do you like yourself? Are you satisfied with your current level of sports performance? So yeah, rate yourself on confidence, rate yourself on self-esteem. You know, self-esteem is a real big one too, asking, you know, are you a perfectionist, or are you assertive or non-assertive? And let them know there's no right or wrong answer to any of these questions, and no bottom line score to worry about, but just ask them to, and those are really good questions for, you know, starting a conversation with someone. And then if you can identify some of the issues above, then, you know, that's where their performance might be suffering. So it might seem like a difficult task to overcome at first, but you can really build your confidence. It can be very simple and direct, just like your physical training. You know, it can be a matter of developing some power words, some positive affirmations, and helping them to really believe in themselves, and the fact that you believe in your clients, that's a really important first step to helping them believe in themselves too. So that's one of the kind of strengths assessments that I've developed that might be helpful to you, and I'll send you that. And then I've got others also that I can, some other things that I'm going to add to that, sort of a profile for athletes too, because they might, you know, you want to ask them also, what questions do you have for me, or you know, what questions do you have? Do you want to ask the coach or Anna L if they're talking with you, what questions do they want to ask you, and how can you best be of help to them? That's a really important question. That's one strengths assessment, and then I wanted to go over some other things, other tools here too that you can use. So, Anna L, is that helpful for your question to start with some of the questions or profile that you could ask your clients?
Yes, thank you. Jules, I have another question. When you do visualization, you use the subject I. Why you don't use you? Why when you do the visualization and you talk to your client, you don't use the subject you? Do you understand what I say?
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. I guess people have different styles, and it's okay to do either one. I think if you want to make it so that the client can is asking, why do I say I instead of you?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess if the client, you want to have it so that your client can use the visualization themselves when they are alone, when they're not with you. And so you want to, I think if they use the word I, when they're listening to the visualization on their own, then it can help them personalize it. So they're saying, I do, you know, I am becoming a stronger athlete, or I see myself being consistent and in my performance. And then when they do it themselves, it can help them to just internalize it and make it their own. That's my thinking there. But if you want it, you can try it either way. And if you find that using the word you is okay, is helpful, you can use that also. But the great thing about visualization, I think, is that there's no standard rules. There's no right or wrong way of doing anything. It's just a matter of preference and what feels comfortable to you. So, because obviously, if I'm saying I'm not referring, I don't want clients thinking of me. Mm-hmm. I want them to think of themselves and what they want to do with this. So, and you can also, I think it's good to ask your clients for feedback and for suggestions, you know, what would be helpful for you, for me to put on the visualization, the audio, and, you know, if you make some, say, power word statements saying I, what is true for you, what is most helpful for you, ask them that, and then they'll be able to tell you more specifically what they need and what they can do for, that way you can be more helpful to them. So, yeah, you can do it either way, and you could try both ways and see which one your client likes the best. I think actually I've done it both ways in the past. Sometimes when it's a, if it's a visualization where I'm saying, you know, let's say you're swimming, you know, I'll use the word you and saying you are feeling, you're starting off feeling so focused and you're diving in the water and every cell in your body is moving well, and you're moving smoothly and streamline and just feeling, having a feel for the water. And, you know, I'll use you with visualizing something because it's just, they can, an athlete will also take that in and will internalize it and make it their own. And then when I do the power words or positive self-statements, I'll say, you know, yeah, I am strong, or I am feeling focused, that kind of thing. I'll use I for that because it's something that then clients tend to memorize those and really internalize them, and they can say those to themselves. And so if they're out, let's say, starting a race or something, you know, they want to be able to say, I am ready for this race, rather than you are ready. It's not about somebody else. It's about themselves being ready. So saying, I am doing this. But either way, it can work all right. But that's a good question. Yeah. And being able to use the right pronoun for them, and you could ask them what works best for them. Or you can say, like, if when I'm doing a visualization for someone else, I'll find out their name. Like, let's say it's Michelle or something. I'll say, Michelle, you are you're starting your event and you're feeling really strong, and I'll say their name at the beginning and then at the middle and then at the at the end at least three times, so that they're, when you say the person's name, then they really take it in more, and it helps them to pay attention and realize, oh yeah, this is a personalized visualization just for me. It's not just a general one, but this person is really talking to me. I think it makes a lot more, makes it just really special for that person, and helps them to believe in themselves too. So, good questions, Anna L. Thank you. And I know, I think Dave's listening on the call here, and in June, and John are also in the call, maybe listening and traveling, and are on muting the phone right now because of travel. That's good. I just wanted to acknowledge all of you that are listening. Also, George and Greg are going through the course too now. So, thank you also for your sending in your assignments here. They all look great, and I want to encourage you to keep doing your assignments, those of you who are going through the course, and I'll get those and give you feedback. So I wanted to go over some tools here, too, for tools and tips for coaching your client. This is one of the kind of coaching tools I wanted to provide for you also. I'll put this up in your members area. So, you know, when you're coaching your client, you want to think of you think of yourself like being a partner, a thought partner. So rather than telling clients what to do, just giving them advice or always making suggestions, you want to think it through with them and help your clients to assess the reality of where they are now. So it's good to just at first focus on just the present, what's going on right now, especially with COVID-19 and the pandemic. A lot of athletes are going through difficult times, and so it's good to assess where they are now and the reality of that, and just be a thought partner with them, a partner in working through what it is that they are struggling with. And then you want to help your client dream and explore what they want for their future to be. So, because now is kind of a difficult time for a lot of people, and for most of us in the world, going through with this pandemic. And so you want to not just be stuck in the present, but help them dream for what the future could be. At some point, you know, schools will open up and competitive programs will start again, and athletes will be able to to compete in. And so it's good to have that dream and explore, you know, what kind of athlete they want to be in the future, even if they might not be able to compete right now. You want to keep that dream alive in them and help them to, and that's where you can do a really nice visualization for them and help them to explore what they can do and how they can perform in the future. And it make that, you know, imagine that that's happening right now. So that can really help them to be strong inside and to keep their motivation up, even if, you know, because things, if they kind of look not so positive right now, they can keep looking forward and realize there's going to be, things are going to look brighter in the future. It's like, for example, here in California, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we've had these horrible fires you may have heard about, and made national news and international news. You know, so 650 fires going at once, and it's been really bleak and difficult to breathe, and fires all around us. And we had lightning, you know, unusual lightning strikes, 12,000 lightning strikes in the. And now it's up to 14,000 lightning strikes in the middle of the summer, which is so unusual. And all those lightning strikes started fires. And, you know, boy, it was looking really bleak. Here we have, you know, multiple disasters all at once, a pandemic going on, and then a huge heat wave as well. And then the fires starting and so many people losing their homes. And it's just, you know, it's really easy to just kind of lose hope and get feel really down. But now they've finally, the weather has lifted, and I kept looking to the future, and now I'm looking out the window, and the air is clear, and you can actually see the mountains. I can see mountains ahead of me in blue sky. And so it's just really good in these times to be grateful for each day, I think, and not to just look at all this not going well, but to look at what we do have each day and take it one day at a time. Encourage your clients to do that. Just ask them, what can I do today to keep moving forward? What can I do here? So it's good to help them, your client, dream and then work on clarifying their goals, what it is that they want to do in terms of their you know, future, and say, you know, specifically, like if there's an athlete, let's say in high school, who would like to be able to compete in college, you know, kind of map out what they'd like to do for performance-wise. They may need to, you know, meet certain performance standards, or they may need to do well on certain tests, or they may need to also, you know, there may be scouts looking at their performance while they're, let's say, playing. You know, there's scouts from colleges, recruiters from colleges going to the high school performances to see what they're doing. And so that can be a good thing, but also an opportunity, but also performance anxiety, knowing that people are watching you and they might be making decisions about whether they want you to attend their college and perform sports in their college. So it's good to think about you know, what their goals are specifically, and then, you know, to be able to compete for themselves, not just for the parents or not just for the schools, but what are their personal goals to be able to do well in their sport, and then how does that help with the sport? How does that help them personally, too? Like if you're doing well in a particular sport, does that help your? Like I know with myself, when I'm running well, that also helps my focus for being able to do certain projects on the computer and be able to focus on my work and my writing. And so how does, ask your athletes, how does your performance in sports also help other aspects of your life? It may help with being able to communicate well with other people and be able to you know, work out certain problems, because sports is such a, it's like the sports arena is like a mini, you know, trial period for what goes on in life. And when you're dealing with these things right away out in sports, you can deal so much better with conflicts and things that you have to go through with other people. So, so that's good to really think about the goals that your athletes have, and then have tools in your toolkit, which we're talking about here, to be able to offer to them at the appropriate times. You want to help, and then you want to help clients identify the major steps, and then the smaller action steps that need to be taken for them to get to their goals, and identify core steps and what they want to do, and then manage the obstacles. You know, find out what obstacles they have. You know, maybe they've got an injury that they need to work through, or maybe they have you know, parents that are overbearing, or they might have difficult work situations, or they might have a coach that's difficult to work with. So identifying what are those obstacles there, and then so you know what things you can help them work on. And then another thing you want to do with your coaching is help that your client identify what additional resources they need, or what, you know, things that you might have them read. If you've written articles on different topics for what they're dealing with, and have them work on those, provide articles for them, or links to topics that they could look at, you know, and some of these assessments that we're talking about here, you can give them those assessments, you know, from our go to, you know, the performingedgecoach.com website and the private members area, and then click on the top tab there that says coach resources, and you can give them some of the assessments there, and different exercises to do as well. So those are some of the things that you could do as a coach. You want to really recognize, support, and provide encouragement for, you know, for the client initially, and then for their efforts along the way, and just encourage them and celebrate successes that they have. So those are some tips and tools for coaching your client, and then I wanted to give you some of the types of questions, the mindset that you want to have when you're, you know, asking your client's questions. So you want to ask questions that give you the information needed for, you know, the maximum benefit to for you to coach them, and for developing a coaching relationship with them. So ask questions that reflect, you know, active listening, that you are an active listener, and understanding of the client's perspective. So you want to ask questions that you know, really make them think, that so they can have insights or something that brings them to action. So those you know, questions that really challenge the client. So sometimes you can ask, well, why is that happening, or what do you think about that? Tell me more about that. Those kind of questions. What's behind that? What's underneath that feeling? You know, if they're feeling anger, often what's underneath that is hurt. So ask them what they are feeling there. And then ask open-ended questions that create greater clarity and a possibility of new learning. So rather than just yes or no questions, you want to ask something that is more open-ended. So they can explore, you know, tell me about that. How does that work? And, as opposed to, you know, lawyers in a courtroom tend to ask questions that are yes, no type answers. You want to stay away from that. But you want them to really get them to talk and explore what's going on inside. asking them, you know, tell me about that situation and what's the meaning of that for you, those kind of questions. So you can really explore. And then you want to ask questions that move the client toward what they really want, what they desire now, as opposed to just looking backwards. You might do a little bit of that, but you want to be able to ask questions that help them to move forward with their goals. And you don't want them to have to justify something or look backwards, but keep them in the present and moving forward. So here's some examples of questions for a new client. You could say, where can you make changes, you know, so you'll have time to work on your goal? Or, that's a good question to have. What is it that you most want to create in this chapter of your life or in this part of time during your sport? What is it you most want to create? That's a good question. So really open-ended. And then say, here's another good question. Choose a date 1 year from now. And what does your day look like? Or it could be just maybe 3 months from, if that's too far ahead, 3 months from now, what would that day look like for you? So those questions are some things that you can ask them. Another one is, what do you derive the most pleasure from? What drives you? Sometimes it might not be, they might be burnt out on their sport, and so you can ask them to tell you about what it is that they are have difficulty with. So lots of different things like that. And then you can, some other questions I wanted to highlight for you for increasing success, if you want them to really focus on success, you could ask them, think of a time when you successfully accomplished something in the past. How did you make that happen? So have them really reflect on the performance aspect and say, think of a time when you successfully accomplished something in the past. And it could, how did you make that happen? It could be in sports, winning a race or winning a competition, or it could be just being able to have a skill that they accomplished, being able to do something, come to a new level in their sport. So those things could really... it's good to have them reflect on that. How did they make that happen? So not just the peak performance itself, but have them reflect on what it was that they did to be able to make that happen and to get to that spot. Because they can then, if they can identify that, then they can use that same process for other things that they want to do. So it could be in sports, or if they can't think of something in sports, then it could just be a project at school, or it could be something that they did with their personally in their life. Maybe they climbed a mountain or were able to get to achieve some personal goal. And then you ask them, after you ask them about what they accomplished, say, how can you draw on your strengths from that experience? So what they did then, draw on those strengths now from that experience. And then you can ask them, think of 20 success experiences, or it could be 10 success experiences in your life, and where you felt a lot of satisfaction. So have them identify, let's say, 10 success experiences, and then choose from that, let's say, 3 peak experiences, and then say, let's analyze those experiences. What were you doing that was most meaningful for you? So what were you doing in each of those experiences that was most meaningful? and ask, you know, what was your role? Were you a leader, a team member? Maybe they were the leader of a sports team. Maybe they were maybe they were just a contributor, or just ask what their role was. Maybe they had a really, you know, important role that it wasn't well recognized, but it was key for the team. So ask that. What was your role, and what was the environment like? Ask them to describe that, and then you can ask them, tell me about your attitudes and some of your behaviors when you were feeling your best. So ask about your attitudes and your behaviors. What kinds of things were you thinking about? Maybe you were super confident, or you know, maybe you really had that belief in yourself that this is something I can do. And then your behaviors there, being able to, you know, were they really, maybe they were super disciplined, being able to get to bed early, get up early in the morning, eat well, sleep well, all of that. So saying, you know, being able to identify what it was that they did that allowed them to get to those successes. And then talk about in what way is your goal tied to your most important values? So, you know, when you have a goal like that, you know, maybe they value, you know, being honest or being disciplined or working hard, working smart. What are their values, and how are your goals tied to that? So asking that, and then you could ask, you know, what do you want to create within your sport or your team? What's the greatness that you want to create with your sport or your team? And then asking what seems to be getting in the way of what you want to be. So being able to identify that, what it is that they are, what they want, and then what is getting in the way of that. And that can really help you to help them to identify the obstacles there, and then be able to work those through. So you're kind of getting more into the heart of their experiences, peak experiences, and then how to create that now. Maybe a lot of athletes have had a good experience in the past, but they didn't know, they don't know how to recreate that. And so, and here's a couple other questions I wanted to mention. You know, some powerful questions for clients is, if you only had 1 month to focus on an important goal and you didn't have to work on anything else for that month, what would you do? So, or you could make it one month, one week, one period of time. So if you only had 1 month to focus on an important goal, you didn't have to work on anything else, what would that be? And what order would you do things in? So thinking about the how would you do this goal? Let's say, you know, it might be you learning the skill of being able to run 10K or run a marathon really well, and you could just focus on that. What order would you do things in? You know, how would you increase your mileage? How would you increase your intensity of your workouts, that sort of thing? And then ask what stops you or gets in the way of doing those things. So find out what the obstacles are there, and then just ask. So just rather than just staying there, you want to say, so what will you do now? What will you do now, and that you identify what's stopping you. What can you do now to get through that? And be focused on, so when will you do this and in what order? So be really specific about what they can do right now. So, and then just kind of get a sense of, you want to increase their motivation. So you could say, if you succeeded in this goal or in this process, what would you feel like? You know, anticipate what would that feel like to meet your goal, if you get to where you want to be. and you know, what's it like for you to feel passionate about your vision? When you feel passionate about a vision, ask them to really describe that. And you can write all these things down, and then you could actually put that into a visualization for them. So you're using their words, their experiences, their thoughts to really create a personal visualization audio for them. And ask them, what do you need to help you really stay motivated? Do you need... ask them to really elaborate on that. Do you need recognitions or to feel part of something or to feel like you're making a difference? People are different. Sometimes some people need more recognition. Some people just want to feel a part of a group, of some entity or something, that some group that is moving forward, feel a part of something. Or some people want to feel like they are making a difference in something. You know, right now in the U.S., you know, just yesterday, you know, because of all these police shootings we're having of black, innocent black people, you know, it was huge news a couple days ago. And because of that, all the sports teams, every major sports team decided to not compete, not do the playoffs. The NBA, National Basketball Association here, and the baseball league, and the women's basketball team, all the major sports teams across the country decided, hey, this is not acceptable. We need to protest these police shootings. And we are not going to compete. We're just going to stop our season completely right now so that we can make a statement. And just that's really powerful. It's never happened in our history of our country here for all the teams, major professional teams, to suddenly stop. And they're making a statement. They're wanting to make a difference and use their power to be able to say something important about this. We got a problem, major problem in our country, and with racial injustice, and we need to speak out about that. And it's not just one person; it's everybody speaking out. So that's powerful. And so some athletes can use that their sports to make a difference. And then you can ask, in what way can you reward yourself for getting through that difficult obstacle, whatever it is that people are getting through? Ask them about a way that they can reward themselves. It doesn't have to be monetary, or it doesn't have to be something fancy. It could be just simply writing something down. But ask them to be able to celebrate in some way, going out to dinner with friends. So just asking those kind of things to be able to increase their motivation. So so I have some other questions, too, on just a couple other things with questions for your homework assignments. When you give someone a homework assignment, you could say just, you know, reflect on this question the coming week and ask them a question of some sort. Or you could say, journal on this question. So write down your thoughts on this question, whatever question you might give them. You might give them a question about, you know, how can I keep positive this week, or how can I keep moving forward? Or you could ask them, your client, send me an email with your thoughts. And you could ask your client to send you an email with their thoughts on a particular question. You could ask them to put up, if they're more paper-oriented, put up a post-it note with the question, you know, on their computer or someplace, so that they remember to think about it during the week. And you could say, how will you remind yourself to reflect on this? So maybe each night before they go to bed, what we're thinking about before we go to sleep tends to be what we dream about. So asking them to reflect on that. So those are some ways that you could help your client to reflect on a homework assignment to do, to be able to reflect on it, journal about it, or they could talk about it with a friend, too, is another way that they could reflect on something. So those are some questions, powerful questions that I wanted to give you, and tips and tools for coaching your client this week, and I'll put this in the members area under coaching resources there, and in the next week, and then I'll be adding more things too. And if you have suggestions, things you'd like me to add to the area, you can do that. So I just wanted to check in with you and see if you have how that. What was helpful for you today, and any other questions you might have that I could answer? Anna L., are you there? Or
yes, I'm here. For me, it's okay. It's about coaching. I teach on coaching, so for me, it's clear. Everything is clear.
Yeah. Okay, good. So are you working with any athletes right now or business people?
No, when I work, I teach on Master Coach, and I teach how we can ask questions to help a client in different matters. So it can be in business, it can be in life coaching, it can be everywhere. And most of the time when I help the coach, it's on transition, people who are doing transition. So develop, question and help and explain to the coach that we have to be a partner, we have to bring positive energy, and we have to ask a good question to help the client to find their own solution. For me, all that is very clear for me.
Right. Okay, great. Yeah. So that's good. So I just wanted to make this more sports oriented, so we can focus on those kind of clients and business clients too. Mm. So that's great. Yeah. And next time we can talk more about other exercises can have clients do as well. So, that'll be good. And it's sometimes, it's good to, I think, really individualize, of course, your questions and your clients for each type of person, and to be able to really focus in on what they need.
Yeah.
So, so that's good. So, so thanks, Anna L. and Dave and John and June, Greg and George, other people listening in here. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. And I'll put more of the tools up in the client area. If you have questions or topics that you would like me to cover for next time, you can let me know. If you have any suggestions, just send an email to me, and I'm always happy to respond and to make these calls really relevant to you. So the next call, we do these on second, fourth Thursday of the month, so the next one would be the 10th, Thursday, the September 10th at 9 a.m. And or that particular day, I might do it the day before, Thursday, but the day before would be a Wednesday, since I might have to be out of town that Thursday. So the Wednesday the 9th, if that works for everyone, we could do it then, just to make it easier.
Yeah.
So, would that work for you, Anna L.?
Yes, it's good, and thank you to you to remind everything about coaching and how we have to coach a client. It's always interesting to have your experience about in the sport and the way we can help the clients. So thank you very much.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks. It's always good to chat with you. And yeah, there's always new things we can learn. And so we're in such a great field, I think, where there's so much need for us to be able to connect with clients, and we can really make a huge impact, I think, on people, you know, especially these days, and just helping people move forward with their goals and be able to, visualization as a way, even if it's not happening right now, they can visualize it for, you know, taking small steps and for having a really bright future. So, great. All right. Well, thank you. Good to connect with you, Anna-El, and everyone. And yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and I'll have a recording for this up shortly here in our private members area. You just click on the yellow schedule button on the right to get a replays there, and all the replays from the past too, from, I don't know, gosh, the last 8-9 years are there. So it's a real wonderful resource. So, all right, thanks everyone. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great week. And yeah, glad you were able to travel to France, Anna-El. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, have a good day, everyone, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye now. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.